الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه.
Quran Quest, a program on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, to all our brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The program is Quran Quest, where we study the verses of the Quran one by one, to learn from them and to practice them in our lives. And to help us with that, we have the brilliant Sheikh Habib. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Habib. How are you doing? And thank you for being on our show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, I'm doing good. Thank you for having me. It's always an honor and a pleasure. And of course, you know, I'm always blushed by your descriptions and whatnot.
Thank you very much, Brother Habib. We are going through the chapters one by one. We're on chapter 68, Surah Al-Qalam, or the pen. Let's listen to the first couple of verses and we'll be back for the discussion. Stay tuned.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeeb. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وإن لك لأجرا غير ممنون.
And indeed, for you is a reward uninterrupted.
وإنك لا
And indeed, you are of a great moral character.
So you just listened to a few verses of chapter 68, Surah Al-Qalam, or the pen. Last episode, we talked with Sheikh Habib. We said that there are various opinions about what the pen might be referring to specifically. And we said that God subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling the Prophet that, well, not the Prophet, he knew, obviously. And we said that the Prophet was accused of being insane for the things that he said, and God here is saying that the Prophet is blessed by God subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's why he gets to see and report on the extraordinary things that he did see. Let's move on to the next verses. On verse 3 and 4, it says, "And yours indeed will be an everlasting reward, and indeed you possess a great character." I think there's a lot to talk about here. My first question is that the word, the Arabic that God subhanahu wa ta'ala has used is غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. Is there something special about it that he says غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ? He uses the word مَمْنُون here.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. The word مَمْنُون comes actually from the roots of manna, which means to cut. Mm. Oh. And so therefore, غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ, it is not cuttable or not stopping or non-stopping.
Uh-huh.
So it's everlasting.
Never ending.
So it's never ending. And how doesn't he deserve that?
Mm-hmm.
When he went through all these harsh situations, mm-hmm. betrayed by his family members, hated by his family members, to an extent where before the battle of Uhud, the mushrikeen, the polytheists, at the head of them was Hind, was a family member, came to the grave of his mother, which is in Al-Abwa, which is the same place of the birth of Imam Kadhim, the same village place where Imam Kadhim alayhi salam was born, between Mecca and Medina. And she wanted to take out the body of his mother out of hatred towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, out of that fire that they have towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, in their eyes taking away their world.
Mm.
In reality, he was showing mankind the path of guidance. He was showing them the light in which they would stay away from the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of sin, and pretty much the keys to paradise and heaven. And he, let's say, struggled for over 20 years in inviting people, bringing people, calling people, and he had a lot of hardships during this time. I am pretty sure not one night or not one day did he have a calm and relaxing day in which that he did not do his mission or did not have any struggles with the community. So Jazakallah khair al-jazah ya Rasulullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him, increases it in his reward, and give us inshallah ta'ala his intercession, and inshallah ta'ala we'll be with him in paradise.
Inshallah. And his pain went to the very last moment, didn't it? When he was in his deathbed and asked for a pen and paper, and a person said that this guy is delusional.
That gets politics. That's too political about it.
I mean, to the last moment. Yeah, no, okay, let's take a break right now, and we'll be back after the break for the rest of the discussion. Don't go away.
إن سألتم عن الله فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. We're on chapter 68 and on verse 4 of this chapter. The Prophet gets a never-ending reward, and obviously he deserves it. Just before the break, you explained some of the reasons why. On verse 4, God says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. The Prophet is known to possess a great character. A question for me here is today, I think that a lot of Muslims, especially those who represent Islam, or wrongly my question is today, in your opinion, if the Prophet possessed a great character, why aren't a lot of Muslims known for their having a great character? Especially those who claim to be even more faithful, or their ideas of Islam is very too strict, not good.
Pretty much goes back to the misunderstanding or on the capability of applying true Islamic teachings. If one was to actually read about the lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, how he dealt in various situations, there are going to be, you know, contradictions with the actions that we see from his Islamic Ummah. But there is something important that I want to point out to, and that is the fact that sometimes culture changes, and things that are considered to be okay or something that should have been done in the eyes of people nowadays would be considered to be taboo. And sometimes the context of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's actions were not known, or are not known for us today, and that is why, for example, we see them as actions to be considered, you know, as taboo nowadays. Or the people are doing the same actions as the Prophet that he did at that time and doing it at this time, and it comes to different. And that really goes back to, first of all, understanding, then applying. So sometimes there are problems in understanding the Prophet's teachings. Some and most of the times, it is when you come to apply these actions. So, you know, it's kind of wrong to judge a religion by the people applying or practicing that religion, but rather look at the religion as a whole, as an ideology, as a notion. Look at it, what it brings in as theoretically. And then there's also a very important thing, that Islam is one of the concepts or one of the ideologies that you can apply. You can apply, you can practice easily. Unlike various other religions or ideas where they kind of, you know, go to the perfect steam, thinking about the perfect consent, or going too right or too left. And then when you come to try and apply it, it becomes impossible to apply. It becomes impossible to practice.
Mm-hmm.
To bring that as an example, for example, like the concept of...
celibacy?
Yes, perfect example. And, you know, you can't apply that to human beings.
Mm-hmm.
You can't apply that nowadays. It's very hard. If someone claims he is doing that, he's either really just self-disciplined to a high level status, or that he's lying. Because usually most people like me, it's impossible. It is impossible. We have our needs as human beings, and we must, you know, follow them. And that is why the religion of Islam is that what they call the middle religion. The religion that always, you know, has its limitations, but its limitations are not too strict.
Mostly people judge any religion based on how its adherents practice that religion.
That's a wrong idea. Like, even a Muslim,
what I want to say is that if you don't do that, I mean, it's about efficiency. If you don't do that, there are too many religions out there, and you have to go and read the core principles. That's quite impossible.
Yeah, the thing is that when you know the right, you know what's right, you know what's wrong. If I know this is right, I know anything else is wrong. It's a simple equation. For example, if I know this phone is color is white.
Yeah.
Then what? Is it black? Is it green? Is it red? There are so many. What do you call it? Possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many possibilities. But when I know and certain that it's white, these possibilities go away. Are you going to believe that this is a red phone?
No.
You're going to believe it's a white phone. Why? Because you have certainty it's white. If you hear it that it's green, you're not going to believe that it's green.
Okay, thank you. Let's take a break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. Just before the break, you said that there are some things that you just know are right. And once you know that, all the other possibilities go away, which narrows down the number of religions that could be correct. But let's talk about this in a religious context. For a person who's born into a monotheistic family, it's obvious that there's only one God. But for a person who's born into a polytheistic family, there's nothing wrong with having several gods. And for a person who's born into an atheist family, it doesn't make sense to have a God. For them, right is clear. For them, right is one God, a lot of gods, or no God. If they're not supposed to look at the adherence of the religion, how is that going to work?
Are they certain about the religion? That's the question. Like you said that they were born into a polytheist family, right? My question is to that person, even as a Muslim, you were born into a Muslim family. You're supposed to ask yourself, is my religion correct? As a human being, respecting the human intellect, you're supposed to ask yourself this question. Am I on the right religion or not? There's nothing wrong with asking this question. It's a matter of hereafter. It's a matter of eternal punishment.
So that's fantastic. But the question was, how is someone supposed to, between all of these religions, how are they supposed to find the right religion? If you say that looking at the adherence is unacceptable. Because it means that for every religion, you have to go and read the core books. And do you really have that much time?
When you say core books, I mean, like, there are the main concepts of every religion that you're supposed to understand, right? Mm-hmm. No one's calling you to come and go into depth about what the Christians think about angels, what the atheists think about angels, or what the Buddhists think about angels. We're talking about these core, you know, primary beliefs.
Oh, and that's accessible. Who created me?
What am I supposed to do? What is the purpose of my life? These are the main questions that are supposed to be answered. And it's pretty much easy. It's not as hard as you might imagine.
But don't have a lot of religions have the same answer to that?
Look at the claims. They have the same answers. No problem. Abrahamic religions are the same.
Yeah.
To some extent, Islam.
So are non-Abrahamic religions.
In reality, Abrahamic religions are Islam. In reality.
Yes, that's true.
But they have been, you know, corrupted by to some extent.
Yeah.
And that is why we have to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and taking the religion, the correct religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So one step follows another, the third, the fourth, the fifth. You reach to a point where you understand that this religion that I am following now is correct. And I'm not wrong. And there's also this matter that's important, is that when you tried your best and you reached certainty, let's say you were wrong.
Yeah.
This is the fear, right?
Right, thank you.
You say you were wrong.
Yeah.
Who says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to forgive you?
Thank you.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to forgive you? Who says you're not under the concept of mustadaf?
Thank you.
That's a very important thing to keep
so
in mind.
So your effort is what counts.
Your effort
and look,
your effort and what? your pure intentions.
Yes, of course. Your honest efforts. Yes.
If your efforts is to gain, you know, I don't know, political power by following a religion, then you and the...
Then, of course, your goal wasn't to find the truth. Yeah. Your goal was to get more power.
Yeah.
So. Thank you very much. I think that's the essential answer to that question. Thank you very much, brother, for clearing up things for us. And thank you to all our listeners for being with us. If you missed the program, don't worry. You can always download an archive from our website. Simply search iRhyme English Radio Quran Quest. Until next episode, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Quran Quest, the program that answers your Quranic questions.